We'll sort of play it by ear. If you see somebody climbing on the chandelier, that will be Doris. We tested very carefully the first day, and everybody could hear in the back row until we started the talk. And then I saw a lot of adjusting of ears and that sort of thing. We have a lot of contraptions up here that amaze me with their ingenuity. But I think now it sounds just right. And I hope everyone has clear hearing from this point on. In our wilderness experience, we are standing in a state of divinity, which is a state of no mortal self. And in the state of no mortal self, we are not responding to the senses and the evidence that they bring. Rather, we are upholding several principles. One is that there is only one creator. That there is only one body. That there is only one life. And there is only one consciousness. When you bring these into one synchronized awareness, the world of effects no longer has power, and you are in a position to prove the non-power of the world mind. Now, a friend of mine decides that he's faced with bankruptcy and his problem is, if I am to walk in the wilderness in a state of divinity and I am faced with bankruptcy, how do I reconcile the two? What do I do? Another one has another crisis, and a third another crisis. And each is saying to themselves, what do I do in a state of emergency when I am supposed to be in a state of divinity? And that paradox must be answered. And that is going to be the first principle of your facing the wilderness on the sixth day. By now we'll assume we've done 5 days and we're into the sixth, and before this lesson is over we'll be finished with 10 days of facing the wilderness, which you're going to do actually in those 10 days later. Today's principle will be, when you are faced with a situation that was not created by God, that is not happening in the one body, that is not happening in the one divine consciousness, and that is not happening in the one divine life, that situation is not happening. It is not happening. The bankruptcy is not happening. The other critical emergencies are not happening. And so what do you do when you face something that's not happening? you recognize that it is not of the one Creator, that it contains no divine life, that there's nothing for you to do about it but know the truth about it. And when you do this, you may be surprised to discover that that which is not happening slowly ceases to appear to be happening. Now, that's a very hard thing, to look at that which is threatening and know it is not happening. But that's the principle. And later, when you are walking confidently in the awareness that you are in the kingdom of God, you'll even be reinforced by knowing this that I see is not happening in the kingdom of God. And so let's take a meditation now on it is not happening, and select that in your life which is disturbing, and apply the four principles to it. Was it created by God? For instance, did God create tumors? Did God create germs? Did God create limitation? Did God create the evils that we countenance in this world? And as we apply this simple principle to them, and our answer becomes a clear no, God did not create this, that, and the other, then your next question is, how can it be there? And again, you are then alerted to the world mind hypnosis, which placed something there that isn't there. And this is your yardstick to uncover what the world mind is doing. It places a situation before you, a condition, a power, a problem, a disturbance. But God didn't place it there, and therefore you're looking at something that is in the world mind, being re-echoed within your mind. It is not there. It is not happening. And now be still about it. Now, something has to give this condition a life. Something has to move it. Something has to press it toward you as a form of threat. What is that force? What is the life within this situation? Is it divine? Is it of God? And when your answer is no, then if this tumor does not have the life of God in it, if this bankruptcy does not have the life of God in it, if whatever this critical emergency is does not have the life of God in it and was not created by God, then it is without life. What is sustaining it if it has no divine life? Only the belief that it is there. Nothing else can sustain it. And why do you believe it is there? Because your senses report it is there. Now, that's the nature, then, of walking in the wilderness. We do not believe our senses. Our senses tell us something is so, but if it does not pass the test of did God create it and does it contain the life of God, then our senses are lying. They are deceiving us. Again, I face the situation with the knowledge that it is not happening. The body of God is infinite. To the human eye, there are many bodies. But God's body does not divide into many bodies. And so, is this tumor happening in the body of God? No. Is this bankruptcy happening in the body of God? No. Then it isn't happening in the divine body, which is infinite. And therefore, it is not happening. Where is this emergency happening? It's in the false consciousness of the world, not in the consciousness of God. But there is only one consciousness. Therefore, it is not happening in the one consciousness. It cannot be happening. Slowly you isolate those illusions of the world which seem to be external, which seem to be perilous, and which seem to contain within themselves the power of life and death. And you remove from them your belief that they have such power. All that kills is your belief in a personal self, in a body that is not the body of God, in a you that was not created by God, in a consciousness that is a personal consciousness, in a life that from beginning to end was not the life of God. And you've been putting all of your expectancy, all of your hopes and dreams and ambitions into a life and a body that actually is not you. And the more you pursue the awareness that there is another you, a you that is the life of God, the body of God, the consciousness of God, and was created by God, and that you is the Christ self, the more you become aware that such a Christ self exists, the more you become aware of the need for rebirth into the actual presence of your divine self. All of these lingering states of unrest in the material world are there as a reminder that you are departed from your divine self, that you have departed from the nature of your own being. And these false degrees of separation must manifest as the human problem. Now you see why the bottom line in the Bible is rebirth. Rebirth from that which claims to be you, which ultimately dies and never was you. And we begin to feel a new understanding of death. We see it in a totally different light. In fact, all of the human concept of death becomes obsolete. Death does not mean what it appears to mean. It is a mistranslation of the senses. That is why we are told that Jesus abolished death. What did that mean? People are dying all around us. How did he abolish something if it still appears to happen around us? We cannot ignore that statement. Before Jesus, the world faced no choice. The ultimate end of every person who walked the earth was death. Jesus, you might say, opened a trap door. He said, look, here's another way. It may appear as death to the world, but it's the entrance to life. It is the way to your divine life. And I call it rebirth. It's very different than death. It's a way in which you go through this trapdoor, and rather than come to a termination point or a return to an old state of consciousness, you move now into new dimensions. You don't die physically, but rather you die to the sense of being a mortal being. And suppose, for example, that you wanted to be a doctor. And you'd gone through all these years of study in college, and now there were no medical schools. There's just no way to go higher. Or suppose in any field of endeavor, you wanted to go higher than you were, but there simply was no place to go. Well, that's how mortals are. The only place they've got to go is into a coffin. Jesus comes along and says, wait a minute, there is a place to go. There's a place to go that's higher. If you're ready for it, I've got the plan for you, and it works. And that higher plan is what I'm calling rebirth. Now, as you die to the world mind, as you die to the senses, as you die to the belief that you were created in time and must end in time, and as you become aware of the nature of God, you will find this trapdoor which leads you out of death into another experience called rebirth, or return to divine birth. And this secret trapdoor is your own identity. Wrong identity brings the wrong experience. Right identity brings the right experience. And now Jesus abolishes death by abolishing wrong identification. And so he says to his disciples, if you follow right identification, you will walk where I walk. You will do what I do. And you will transcend as I transcend. And in this return to your divine birth, you will discover that all of the evils in the world which had beset you existed only in the belief that there was a personal you. When that is gone, and you're not in a personal sense of life, you're still right there, but you're in your divine being, and the evils in the world have no place in you. Now, this is the trapdoor he opened for us, and it was his new concept of death which took the sting out of death and converted what we call death into an opportunity to rise into divinity on this earth. And that is why this class is so important. Finally, as a group, we are taking divine birth and making it our priority. We're not stopping along the way for lesser accomplishments. These will fall in line as we accomplish the main objective. The moment a measure of divine birth is part of your consciousness, in that moment, all of the evils in the world face a different you, a you which is no longer helpless, a you which no longer has to resist and defend, but a you which is invulnerable just by virtue of your divinity. Now, we all start a day the same way. What I am going to do today, where I am going to go, who I am going to see, and what I would like to see happen. And oh yes, I just thought about it. I wonder what God had in mind. And then, when we find that we stumble, that's the time we really think about God. That's when the mortal prays to God, the mortal implores God, the mortal says to God, what do I do next? But the divine self doesn't go through these human contortions. It is a direct expression of God. It doesn't make false moves. It doesn't move into a world. It moves in the kingdom. It doesn't strive to attain. It is. It doesn't have to outthink its competitor. It lives in the consciousness of one, in the Father who knoweth our needs. And so we reverse the using of our own mortality as a nucleus for life. Whereas I focused my world around this personal self, which lived in this world, divine birth tells me that I am not this personal self, and I do not live in this world. And if I persist in maintaining this human attitude toward life, this human belief in living in a world, then I have no right to be a part of an activity called infinite way, because it teaches the very opposite. It teaches that your life must be built around your divinity, and that all priorities are given solely to living the divine will in the kingdom of heaven on earth, independent of all powers of this world. Let's look now at the direct route to attaining divine sonship. Are you accepting God as the creator of your universe? Or are you accepting the universe that God did not create? Where are you walking? Are you trying to accomplish what cannot be accomplished? Are you walking in one universe and seeking the help of God in another universe? Or are you walking in the universe of God? If you're in a mortal sense of self, you're making that universal error. The mortal sense of self cannot walk in the kingdom of God on earth. The mortal sense of self is not accepting God as creator, but rather is saying to the God who didn't create the mortal sense of self, be good to me and help me. All based on total ignorance. So let's remind ourselves that this which is not happening, these evils, these disturbances, these cataclysms, are not happening because I am standing in my divine self, which is invisible to human sense. That's where they're not happening. They're not happening in my divinity. They're not happening in my spirit. My spirit is not bankrupt. My spirit has no tumor. There's no threat to my spirit. And so if I live in a mortal sense of self, my defense is not to fight that which is trying to dominate my mortal sense of self, but to live not in that mortal sense of self, to live in and as my spirit. Your second principle will be then to honor the Creator by accepting no life that is not the life of God. And you might call this principle that there is no second life. That will be your second principle. There is no second life. The only life there is the life of God. It is never in a state of danger. It is never in a need of repairs. And that can be the only life that I know. I'm assuming you're willing to accept that the life of God is the only life you have. Now that life can never depart from you. That life always was your life. And because that life can never die, you can see that all thoughts of death are the belief in another life. Every belief in death is the belief that I have a life other than the life of God. And we're all subject to that false belief until we become spiritually educated. And so I say to you that your life, which is not the life of God, is a false life, a counterfeit life, a life that is not even your life, but rather a world belief that you have accepted. And then you have accepted that life to be inside this body. Now, God's life did not enter your body. That's very important to see. The life of God cannot enter your body. Not this body, this physical image. And because the life of God cannot enter your body, there is no divine life in this body. You are living in a life that has no divine life in it, in a body that has no divine life in it. And there is a seed of future problems. You cannot live in a body that has no divine life in it and escape problems, because only divine life is under divine law. And so every human being on this earth, living in a mortal body, is living in a body without divine life, for divine life never enters a mortal body. And that is a major problem for every individual on this earth. But it is not a problem when you make your adjustment from believing that the life within this body is my life. And that's a difficult thing to do now. The life within this body is not your life. The life within this body is the life of the world mind counterfeited to simulate your life. And unfortunately, without any way of knowing this, we have all been born into such a belief and we have accepted it. And so we have lived in mortal bodies without divine life in them, and we have striven to know God aright, and we cannot. The Creator did not create that body, which is mortal, or the life within it. And as long as you remain in such a state of thought, you are created by the father of lies, the world mind. And in times of stress, you will discover that the father of lies does not stand behind you and protect the body which that father created, because that's a false father. A false creator. And it has no power to maintain the false sense of body which it has foisted upon humanity. All who have died that death of the false body have died it because they had not reached the level of awareness that divine self is their name. And so they went back in their rerun once more to try to find that divine life, that divine self, which we are coming to grips with in our determination to return to divine birth. Now let's look closely at the body which does not contain divine life and see there the seed of every human problem. How can a body without divine life face the conditions that appear around it and survive? The only weapons it has are the false weapons of the world mind. Weapons that crumble under stress. Weapons that promise much and deliver little. But you have a divine father. If so be you accept divine sonship, if so be you are true to your divine life, if you take the time and the effort and the energy to find your divine life and to face your undivine life and know the difference, if you believe in death, you do not know your divine life. If you believe in sickness, you do not know your divine life. You can clearly see then that unless you realize that divine life is perfect and all that comes to you in the nature of imperfection is not divine life and therefore is part of the world illusion, you will succumb to it. You will resist it. You will grapple with it. Sometimes you will think you've won, sometimes you will know you've lost. But always you'll discover in the final analysis, you cannot defeat an illusion, nor can you control an illusion. You can spend an entire lifespan trying to control the illusions that are not there. Your divine life is perfect because your father is perfect. And therefore, because your divine life is here, every imperfection in your life must be faced not as something to remove, but as something that has no existence. It is not happening in your divine life. That's a real change in consciousness. The imperfections of the world are part of the world dream. The knowledge that your life is the life of God and perfect enables you to face the world dream and to awaken from it. The awakening is the discipline to stand in the reality of perfect life, with the knowledge that there is no second life. There isn't divine life and non-divine life. There isn't perfect life and imperfect life. There is perfect life, invisible, and the visible illusion of imperfect life. But there are not two. All that is your invisible divine life. And what is not is what appears to be. You don't face the illusion with a sword for that reason. Because in using the sword on the illusion, you bring into play only the illusion of yourself. Very few people have attained the conscious awareness of the nothingness of imperfect life. But you can come to it by degrees, by seeing the illusion of mortality. the fellow coming at you with a gun, he's not there. The gun he's carrying is not there. But if you think they're there, they're going to shoot. If you are so developed that in your consciousness they are not there, your consciousness will manifest. That's the beauty of truth. Your consciousness of truth will manifest. Now, you may look at a whole nation at war. And don't mistake me, I'm not saying that your consciousness of the non-reality of war is going to turn a country into peace. But it's going to turn it into peace where you are concerned. The war of that nation is not going to disturb your divine life. And there's a lot of people who are going to go through the throes and illusion of death because they're not in the awareness of their divine life. But as you stand in your truth, divine life is my name, the life of God is who I am, you will find you are in the secret place, and it will not come nigh thy dwelling. That may seem selfish, but we all have to live by our consciousness. We cannot borrow someone else's, nor can they borrow ours. We have to develop our own consciousness. Let it shine, and then those who are aware of it will be attracted enough to investigate the nature of your divine consciousness, your divine life, and that is how you will bless the world. It is not happening was our first principle. The second is, there is only one creator. There is no second creator. The third is, there is no second life. There is only divine life. Now, those three principles could be followed for many years, and you would still find yourself flinching at the sight of a fear of some kind, flinching at the sight of a visible object that threatens, flinching at the sight of the distress occurring in anyone in your family. But as you stand firm in the knowledge of your perfect divine life, you will find you can easily accept the perfect divine life of both friend and foe. I don't care who you're looking at. The life of that form you're looking at is not there. It's not that it's not divine only, it's that it's not there. That person is not there. That essence that is there is the invisible divine life. And that invisible divine life that is there is the reason the Bible says we are entertaining angels unaware. Everywhere we look, there is invisible divine life, and when you deny it to your neighbor, you have lost it, because it is not separate and apart from you, nor is it other than your own. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Recognize the divine life of your neighbor as the divine life of yourself, for there is no second life. Now we're behind the illusion. We're backstage. Up front, they're wearing masks. They are actors on a stage called mortals. Shakespeare thought they were very foolish. And we must come to the realization that we too are very foolish if we're up front on that stage wearing this mortal masquerade, animated by a force that is not our divine life. The masters of light who come to appear in the so-called world that we inhabit always bring with them one mission, and that is to awaken us. We like to ask them to be our leaders and to take us away from power of our enemies. And they do, in a sense, but not the way we want them to. I think if you were a Hebrew in the days of Jesus, you would have done everything you could to persuade him to be your commander-in-chief. I think we would have offered him a lifetime pension if he would have accepted and just taken all those Roman tax collectors and sent them out of the provinces and said to Rome, "That's the end of all this tax suppression. We owe you nothing." And there were many, probably, who wondered why this great healer refused to lead them against the oppressive power of Rome. And even today, it is still unknown why he did not respond to their urging. Was he not the leader? Was he not a master? Was he not the Son of God come to lead man out of his captivity,